Well, first of all, and once again, I want to say how excited I am to be here today. You know, take a look at all of you, more than 600 strong, being here today to dedicate a whole afternoon on a beautiful day like this to celebrate the beauty of what it means to be disciples of Jesus. And I know that at the end of Mass, Father Tony is going to express his gratitude for all the people that really worked so hard to organize this very important event. But I don't think I can wait until the end to thank three people for sure that absolutely deserve an awful lot of credit, and they deserve the love from our hearts to be shown by our applause. You know, we got to thank your two pastors, huh? To thank Father Tony and Father Joe. Two years ago, they had the dream to be able to do an event like this, and now this is the third time coming together to take a look. And certainly because of their leadership at St. Bernadette, North American Martyrs, and so many people from each of those two parishes really helped bring this together so that the word is spreading, and other people from not only other parts of our diocese, but from our neighbors in Greensburg, and also in Winning Charleston, and also in Steubenville, to be able to join us, and how nice it is for us to be able to welcome them. And the other person we need to thank is Father Joe Mealy. You know, Father Joe Mealy is the Secretary for Leadership Development and Evangelization, and I know he's been working very closely with Father Joe and Father Tony in putting this whole event together. So let's thank Father Joe Mealy. You know, my friends will tell you one of the things that I like to do is shop. That's been a part of in my blood for probably all of my life. I'm really coming to the point now where I have to start to get rid of lots of things. But, you know, it still doesn't stop me from looking. And I was thinking, you know, if you go to the home goods section, you know, of Walmart or Target, one of the things that you're liable to see is a whole section that is devoted to welcome mats. Huh? And, you know, in my day when I was growing up, welcome mats were pretty boring. You know, you could either get in either brown or black. That was it, okay? And it was a place where you had to come and make sure you cleaned off your shoes, you know, so you didn't mess up the carpet or the floor. But you go to Walmart and you go to Target today and, you know, They're all over the place in terms of colors and designs, and one hopes that the design of those welcome mats is to truly make people feel welcome when they're coming to our homes. Well, I'm going to tell you about a very special welcome mat that I got 9 years ago when I came back to the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And it was not the kind of a welcome mat that you would put on your floor. Not a welcome mat to clean the dirt off your shoes or walk over to come into an apartment or a home. It, in fact, was the welcome mat of a very beautiful painting. And maybe some of you have seen this painting. It depicts the Annunciation, when the Archangel Gabriel came to Mary, telling her that God wanted her to be the mother of his son, to be the mother of the Messiah, and ultimately to be the mother of us all as members of her son's body, the church. It's a painting that's pretty unique, and it's really down to earth. You know, it's a painting that was, in fact, painted by a guy by the name of Henry Tanner. The original actually is not too far away from here. It's in the Museum of Art, Philadelphia Museum of Art. It was painted in 1898. But all those facts aside, what made it such a beautiful welcome mat for me was the way in which the Annunciation is depicted. Very bright but subtle colors. Mary is sitting on the edge of her bed. The sheets are crumpled. Mary is dressed in her nightwear. And she is looking to the left of the painting. And all that we can see as we take a look at that event is a very bright light. The light of God's love himself. And that light is so bright that we can actually take a good look at the face of Mary. And what it is when we take a look at that painting, and by the way, if you ever come to visit me in my office at 111 Boulevard of the Allies, that painting is hanging in the living room of my office there. But when the light is shining on the face of Mary, what you see there is delight, not fear, a sense of awe, wonder, adoration, confidence, humility, and love. It's all there on her face. But what is so important about what happened at that moment of the Annunciation is what would follow. Once Mary said yes to what God asked her to do, you can bet your bottom dollar that she took off with excitement, with enthusiasm, with energy. And my sisters and brothers, that's what evangelization is all about. That's what it's all about, to be excited about Jesus, to be enthused by his presence, and to be energized by the power of his grace. And think about what Mary did in response to that yes. Two very important moments that we recognize in the Gospel of Luke. First of all, where does Mary go first? Exactly. To be with her cousin Elizabeth. And you know, in our penitential rite today, our third strove said, "You bring light to those in darkness." Here was Elizabeth so concerned because she was an old woman now, even though her dream was being fulfilled of giving birth. She was obviously very worried about what this was going to do to her body. And would the baby be delivered safely? And would she live beyond the labor? And Mary comes with excitement, with enthusiasm, with energy as the first evangelizer. And all of those fears that Elizabeth had were gone. Were gone. Because Mary, as the first evangelizer, really became the welcome mat to Elizabeth, to recognize what this whole mystery was all about, not only in her life and that of Zechariah, but what was happening through Mary and for the rest of the world and for the rest of history. And then you know the second journey that Mary, the first evangelizer, made on that road to the little town of Bethlehem. And this time, Mary wasn't sitting on the side of her bed with her sheets crumpled, dressed in her night gear. There she was on a bale of hay, giving birth to the Savior of the world. And once again, our invocation in that strophe of our penitential rite, "You bring light to those in darkness forever and always." There she was, with energy, with enthusiasm, with encouragement. The first evangelizer is there giving birth to the dear Jesus. And it seems to me, my sisters and brothers, we need to be able to take the look of that welcome mat, once again, because that's what the birth of Jesus was all about, welcoming everybody always and everywhere at all times to come and to be connected with the Lord Jesus. We need to be able to take a look at that, not simply from looking at a beautiful painting or imagining what it looks like or realizing a very important moment in history, But to see how the power of God's word has to be alive and alive in all of us who are, in fact, the body of Christ, the church. So where does that all fit into where we are today in celebrating this Holy Mass? And especially in the readings that we've just heard. Well, my sisters and brothers, I want to pull out one sentence that hit me between the eyes as I was preparing for today, because it connected back to that welcome mat of Mary at the Annunciation, the welcome mat of Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth, the welcome mat of Mary giving birth in the little town of Bethlehem, and how that needs to be passed on from the first evangelizer to everybody who bears the name of Jesus Christ through baptism. And where we find that challenge is in the church of Thessalonica. The second reading that we heard from St. Paul is a letter that wasn't just a nice note. Paul was ticked. And I'll tell you why he was ticked. He was ticked because the church of Thessalonica was like our Las Vegas. The people were off in little corners taking bets. When's the world going to come to an end? When is the second coming of Jesus going to take place? And they were trying to compete with each other to see who was going to have the right answer. And then you had another group of people who were basically turning their backs on what it meant to be members of the family of Jesus, were being very lazy about not supporting the needs of others, and hardly could they be described as people in love with the Lord. And so Paul comes to that group of people and says, wait a minute. Open your eyes, open your ears to the good news of Jesus. Stop trying to take bets about when the second coming is going to take place. Stop sitting there doing nothing for each other as members of the community. And here's the line from today's reading. May the word of God speed forward and be glorified. Think about that. Paul's saying to them, get off your chairs and take a look at what you've received. Take a look at the powerful presence of Jesus within you and make sure that you take the word of God and speed it forward so that God may in fact be glorified. And boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you, but as I reflect on that one sentence from St. Paul, it's telling me, David, you better not be sitting on your butt. You better make sure that you're moving about as much as you can, like the dear Mary, and be an evangelizer of the good news of everything that Jesus has meant in the past to Christians like the Thessalonians, and what he means to all Christians and all of us in the day in which we now live. So how do we do that? How can you and I, like Mary, be people of energy, be people of encouragement, be people of enthusiasm, and be evangelizers? Well, to be honest with you, I want to take from our prayer that we've been saying in the Church of Pittsburgh of being on mission. Praying that we may come to learn Jesus, to love Jesus, and to live Jesus. There's the formula. Number one, first of all, coming to learn Jesus, huh? We can never know enough about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we better make sure that we go back to the source to hear the story about who Jesus was. And not only to be able to read ink on page in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Not simply coming to know about Jesus, but that we take time with the sacred word of God and come to really know Jesus. And that in every story that we see about Jesus in those four Gospels, that we place ourselves in them. Because you know what? Every time Jesus forgave sins, it's a sign of what he wants to do for us. Forgive us. That every time we read a story about Jesus healing somebody who needed healing, guess what? He wants to heal us. Every time that we see Jesus spreading the truth to move somebody's hearts, not to be stone cold, but to be warm in service, he's wanting to do the same thing for us. And when we take a look at the story of Jesus, as his father himself tells the story, then it can't but help move us to love Jesus. How could we not fall in love with the Lord Jesus when we think about absolutely everything that he did? From the announcement of his birth on that very simple bed in Mary's house to the glory of the empty tomb on Easter morning. All done for you and me. And if we take the power of the story of Jesus seriously, we cannot be apathetic. We can only be energized by what it means to be an evangelizer. And that's what moves us to the third reality. That with evangelization, we do exactly what Mary did. We go to the world that is mighty dark these days, and we carry with us the light that is Christ. We carry forth within us the power of Jesus that can and will move other people, provided that we're open to him being within us. My sisters and brothers, when we do that, when we come to learn Jesus, when we fall more deeply in love with Jesus, when we seek to live Jesus, you and I literally become what that painting means for me, a welcome mat that other people, and maybe even for the first time through us, will come to experience Jesus more than just a figure of history, but the loving Savior of the world. Recently, I saw a very powerful commercial. And it said this: ask Jesus what he wants you to do for him. And be brave. May we, together as we gather in this room today, ask Jesus from the bottom of our hearts what he wants you and I to do for him. And then, can we be brave with energy, with enthusiasm, with encouragement to be evangelizers?